Now there was only the lap of water against the rocks, the sigh of a breeze through the pines, and the mild sound of birdsong. When Eddie looked to the right, he saw that the gunslinger was sitting with his talented, long-fingered hands folded peaceably in his lap.
"How does it feel to you?" Eddie asked.
"Quiet."
The word quiet was spoken Kala fashion.
"Anyone here?"
"I think so, yes."
"Danger?"
"Yar, beside me."
Eddie looked at him, frowning.
"You, Eddie, you want to kill him, don't you?"
After a moment, Eddie admitted it was so. This uncovered part of his nature, as simple as it was savage, sometimes made him uneasy. But he could not deny it was there. And who, after all, had brought it out and honed it to a keen edge? Roland nodded. "There came into my life, after years during which I wandered in the desert as solitary as any anchorite, a whining and self-involved young man whose only ambition was to continue taking a drug which did little but make him sniffle and feel sleepy. This was a posturing, selfish, loud-mouthed loutkin with little to recommend him.
But good-looking, Eddie said. Don't forget that. The cat was a true sex machine."
Roland looked at him unsmiling. "If I could manage not to kill you then, Eddie of New York, you can manage not to kill Calvin Tower now." And with that, Roland opened the door on his side and got out.
"Well, says you,"
Eddie told the interior of Cullum's car, and then got out himself. 3. Cullum was still behind the wheel of his truck when first Roland and then Eddie joined him.
"Place feels empty to me," he said, "but I see a light on in the kitchen."
"Uh-huh," Eddie said.
"John, I've got—"
"Don't tell me you've got another question. Only person I know who's got more of him is my grandnephew, Aiden. He just went 3. Go on, ask."
"Could you pinpoint the center of the walk-in activity in this area over the last few years?" Eddie had no idea why he was asking this question, but it suddenly seemed vitally important to him. Cullum considered, then said,
"Turtleback Lane, over in Lovell."
"You sound pretty sure of that."
"Yeah.
Do you remember me mentioning my friend Donnie Russert, the history prof from Vandy?"
Eddie nodded.
"Well, after he met one of these fellas in person, he got interested in the phenomenon. Wrote several articles about it, although he said no reputable magazine had published him, no matter how well documented his facts were. He said that writing about the walk-ins in Western Maine taught him something he'd never expected to learn in his old age. That some things people just won't believe, not even when you can prove them. He used to quote a line from some Greek poet, 'The column of truth has a hole in it.' Anyway, he had a map of the 7-town area mounted on one wall of his study: Stoneham, East Stoneham, Waterford, Lovell, Sweden, Freiburg, and East Freiburg, with pins stuck in it for each walk-in reported, do you see?"
"See very well, say thank you," Eddie said.
"And I'd have to say, yeah, Turtleback Lane's the heart of it. Why, there were 6 or 8 pins right there, and the whole damn road can't be more than 2 miles long. It's just a loop that runs off Route 7, along the shore of Kaiser Lake, and then back to 7 again."
Roland was looking at the house. Now he turned to the left, stopped, and laid his left hand on the sandalwood butt of his gun.
"John," he said, "we're well met, but it's time for you to roll out of here."
"Yeah, you sure?"
Roland nodded. "The men who came here are fools. It still has the smell of fools, which is partly how I know that they haven't moved on. You're not one of that kind."
John Cullum smiled faintly. "Should hope not," he said, "but I got to thank you for the compliment."
Then he paused and scratched his gray head.
"If 'tis a compliment."
"Don't get back to the main road and start thinking I didn't mean what I said. Or worse, that we weren't here at all, that you dreamed the whole thing. Don't go back to your house, not even to pack an extra shirt. It's no longer safe. Go somewhere else, at least 3 looks to the horizon."
Cullum closed one eye and appeared to calculate.
"In the 50s, I spent 10 miserable years as a guard at the Maine State Prison," he said. "But I met a hell of a nice man there named